Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Some of you aren't married. We talk a lot in these conferences about marriage and family, but we have single people all over this room tonight. And you know what? God wants to bless your life. You're single. You know, one of the blessings you could have in your life is the lives you touch. You're single. You can serve God in ways that I can as a married man. The Bible makes that clear. So don't balk at God's plan. If God's plan for you is that you're single, then go all out to be the single person God called you to be so you can have the blessings of God. Am I making sense? You grandparents, don't balk at God's plan. Don't allow your retirement years just to be a matter of sitting in front of a television and you know everything going on in the world because Fox News has told you or CNN has told you or NBC has told you. Don't waste these retirement years. Invest in your grandchildren. God's letting us know that no matter where we are, boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads and single people and grandparents and widows and widowers, God has a plan for our lives. And so we're not to talk like the world around us and walk like the world around us. We're not to balk at God's plan like the world around us. And in Ephesians chapter 4, where we first started, he reminds us that the world doesn't have the life of God, but we do. And they haven't learned Christ, but we have, and they don't have the truth, but we do. And remember this statement? This is the statement I've been trying to teach you every night this week. This is the statement I want you to get from the Maximize Life Conference. As we learn the Word of God and apply it to our lives, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes us more like Jesus. And the result of that is you and I have the blessings of God. And it's a lifelong process. See, none of us have arrived. None of us. You know what I did today? I got up this morning and spent time in the Word of God. You know why? Because I need to grow. I need to grow. I need to be more like Jesus. I know that. I'm still growing. This is a new stage in my life. I got two kids getting ready to be married. That's a new stage. God, I don't know how to help them. I don't know how to help them. I don't want to go to jail. So God, help me not to have to kill anybody. And I'm being a little silly here, you understand. But I don't know what to do. So you got to help me. I got to grow. So I learn the Word of God and apply it to my life. This year, I've been doing a study through Psalm 119. It's 176 verses. I'm trying to memorize it. I'm not doing very well, but I am trying. One of my goals in life would be to, you ever been in a service where the preacher announces this text and this, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. You ever been in a church like that? I always thought it'd be great to stand. We're going to read Psalm 119. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. It only takes about 15 minutes to read the whole chapter. Wouldn't that be pretty cool to stand for the reading of God's Word? But I'm learning it. Why? It's amazing what I've learned this year. So I've been working verse by verse through Psalm 119. I'm in the 90s. But you know what I've been doing this year? I've been in God's Word, learning it and applying it to my life. I'm 48. I got a kid in elementary school, so I got to train her. I got Jacob up here. He's 15. God, I still got training to do with Jacob. My Matthew's 18. He's in college now, but I've got training to do. Give me a couple of years if things go on as they are. Pastor Matt, I'm going to have a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law and maybe grandchildren. Don't y'all think I'm going to look good as a grandfather? My kids are all, what are we going to call you? Grandfather. That's what I want to be. I want to be grandfather. And the kids are like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. I'm grandfather. And if it's not wrong, I'd smoke a pipe because that's what grandfathers should do, don't you think? And I learned from Bill Clinton, if I do, I won't inhale. Okay, I won't inhale. But I want to be grandfather. See, this is new stage. So here's what I'm doing. I'm learning the Word of God and applying it to my life. You got to be in God's Word every day. Church, you got to be in God's Word every day. You got to be in God's Word every day. You got to be in God's Word. You got to train your children to be in God's Word. This is success in Christianity. You get in the Bible, you get in the Bible, you get in the Bible. And here's what happens. When you do, the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God and makes you more like Jesus. Now, here's a question for you. How you doing? So you've been saved for years. Are you more like Jesus than you've ever been? Are you more loving, gentle, gracious, kind, thoughtful, at ease? That's like Jesus. What are we doing in our Christianity? We're just as bothered as the world. We're just on edge all the time. We're uptight. Aren't we? I was reading in Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 5 says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is in it. Jesus is with you, so let your moderation be known unto all men. You know what I found out? That I did a word study on that word moderation and found out it's kind of a sound. It's like this. Let your, you ready for this? Let your be known unto all men. Y'all do that with me. Y'all do that with me. Y'all ready? Y'all do that with me. Take a deep breath. Y'all take a deep breath. Come on, do it with me. Do this. Does that describe your life? Is this your life? Aren't my kids great? My husband's great, isn't he? My wife's great, isn't she? All's well. Or are you like this? Most people, they live their life by a sound. This is a sound, isn't it? Here's the sound. But most people don't live that way. Most people live like this. The people I work with, these kids of mine, oh my word, these kids of mine, listen to me, kid, I brought you in this world, I will take you out. Isn't that how most of us live our lives? Isn't that how most of us, some of you kids are pointing at parents, what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen? But now stay with me. God wants you to learn his word and apply it to your life so that the Holy Spirit will take his word and make you more like Jesus. And the result is you can have the blessings of God in your life. Don't you want God's blessings in your life? Then you got to get to the Bible and let the Spirit of God make you more like Jesus. Don't you want God's blessings in your marriage? Then you got to get to the Bible and let the Spirit of God make you more like Jesus. You want God's blessings in your parenting? Get to the Bible and let the Holy Spirit make him more like Jesus. This is so simple. But it absolutely matters, no matter where you are in your spirituality. Maybe you got saved last week, then here's what you do. Start getting in the Word of God and start becoming more like Jesus through the Word of God. Maybe you've been saved for 45 years, then you keep staying in the Word of God because the Holy Spirit still wants you to be more like Jesus. Am I making sense tonight? And so here's what we're learning. Here's what we're learning. We're learning in Ephesians that God wants us to be saved. Remember Sunday morning, you that were here Sunday morning? We're learning in Ephesians, God wants every one of us to be saved through Jesus Christ. Here's our verse, for by grace are you saved through faith. You can't save yourself. If you're in our building tonight and you're not a Christian on your way to heaven, there's a Savior named Jesus Christ who died for your sins and was buried and was raised from the dead. And through that Savior named Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven. You have to come to him. You have to turn to him. You have to believe on him. You have to trust him. But if you'll do it, he'll forgive your sins, and he'll give to you everlasting life. Isn't that an incredible truth? It's a wonderful truth. See, I'm on my way to heaven not because I'm a Baptist preacher, because I pray with my family or try to be a good man. I'm on my way to heaven because there was a day I trusted Jesus Christ, the one who died, was buried, and was raised from the dead. And because he died for my sins, when I trusted him, he forgave my sins. And because he was raised from the dead, when I trusted him, he gave me everlasting life. And if you're a boys and girls, look at me. You boys and girls in the room, if you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you should. Because you need Jesus Christ to be your God and your Savior. Teenagers, if you're a teen in the room and you've not yet trusted Jesus Christ to be your God and your Savior, you should. You should. You need a Savior. You need a God, a Savior in your life. And anybody here can be born again. So the first thing is God wants us to be saved. Here's the second thing. God wants us to have victory. Isn't that what I preached last night? Victory over your tongue. Over your anger and your bitterness and your dishonesty, God wants you to have victory. Don't miss that. Here's another thing, and I'm going to preach on this tomorrow night in one of the sessions. When you get to Ephesians chapter 5, I'm moving to chapter 6, and I'll make a few points and be done tonight. When you get to Ephesians chapter 5, you find out that God wants you to have purity in your life. He says things like this, but fornication in all uncleanness, let it not be one time named among you. Well, Christians, you know what you and I have got to do in the culture we live in? In the culture that we live in, we've got to go overboard to be pure. Adultery's wrong. You say, yeah, but we just don't love each other anymore, so I'm going to find me another. I'm going to start looking for another woman because my wife doesn't love me anymore. I'm telling you, adultery's wrong. That's not Christianity. I'm to pursue purity. So it matters what I watch on television even, doesn't it? It matters what I watch on television even, doesn't it? Sure it does. because I'm to pursue purity. God wants me to have a pure life. Teenagers, it matters what apps you're using. Because God wants you to have a pure life. You got to learn the word of God and pursue purity. So it matters. It matters. It matters what you're looking at on Instagram. Instagram's not wrong, but if you're struggling with Instagram, delete the app. It's not wrong to have Facebook, but if it's causing a battle in your life with purity, delete your Facebook account. Did you know the world survived for many years without Facebook? It was amazing how little we knew about each other. I had no idea what you had for lunch. And survived. Isn't that true? So here's the point. God wants you to have purity. Watch this one. God wants you to have a good marriage. We talked about that several times and alluded to it, and we've got sessions on this. We were finding this in Ephesians 5. God wants you, husbands, to love your wives. God wants you to show her you love her. That's loving her the way Christ loves the church. God wants you to have a good marriage. So husbands, you got to love your wives and be the leader. You got to love her. You got to say, honey, I love you. One guy said to me, well, I'm just telling you right now, I'm not that way. I'm German. So I don't care if you're Martian. Are you married? Then love your spouse. The Bible says that. Wives, partner with your husband. It's called submission. Lean his way. Look to him. Follow him. He says in Ephesians, you want to have a good marriage. I want that for you. So you got to love your spouse and you got to follow your husband. And the two of you got to partner together to make this thing work. You give 100% and she gives 100%. You love her and you lead in your home. And ladies, you follow him and partner with him and reverence him. Your wife needs to hear you say, honey, I love you and I'm going to prove it. You want flowers? I'll buy you flowers. You like chocolate? I'll buy you the store. Here you go, baby. I'm in love with you. You know what your husband needs? He needs you to reverence him, the Bible says. See, it's how God made us. Every one of the ladies in this room, every wife in this room has this God-given need to be loved. So when your husband says, I love you, honey, that's God. When he buys you flowers, just because. When he gives you $500 and sends you shopping, that was over the top. That was over the top. That was too much. But doesn't that make you feel loved? What? Watch this. When my wife says to me, honey, when she shows me reverence, when my wife says, honey, you to man. This is the weirdest thing. God designed us men in such a way, we believe it. My wife's like, honey, you to man. And I'm like, you know, come to think of it. I am. It's a happy marriage. And watch this. You're going to find in Ephesians, God wants you to have a successful family. So you train your children to obey. And kids, you obey your mom and dad with the right spirit. This is Christianity. You teenagers, you show honor to your mom and dad. You reverence them. You obey them. You don't always get your way. But when you don't get your way and you stomp and sigh and huff and puff like the bedbag wolf, then you got a problem in your home. You honor, you obey. God wants you to have a successful family. And here's what you learn in Ephesians 6, and I'm done tonight. You know what Paul's trying to tell us in our Christian life? That God wants us to win. God wants us to win in our Christian life. I call this message thriving to win. Thriving. Y'all know that word, thrive? You know what most people think of when they think of thriving? Most people think of thriving. They tend to think in terms of finances or health. Well, I want to be healthy, so I'm going to start an exercise program. I want to be healthy. I'm going to start an exercise program, or I'm going to be more careful with my finances. I'm going to set a budget. I want to thrive. I love the passage in 3 John verse 2. It's one chapter, 3 John 1 chapter verse 2, where Paul says about a man named Gaius. He says, "I would that you were in wealth and health as well as you are spiritually." I wish your wealth and your health was as good as you are spiritually. What if you were only as well financially as you are spiritually? What if you and I were only as well physically as we are spiritually? See, most of us think of thriving to win. We think of health and wealth. I saw one meme on Facebook or somewhere along the way. It said, my goal for 2018 was to lose 10 pounds. Praise God, I only have 15 to go. That's kind of true a lot of times, isn't it? I saw one that said, I just did a week's worth of cardio after walking into a spider's web. And I confess I've done that one. I don't mean to brag, but I finished my 14-day diet in 3 hours and 21 minutes. And I think I mentioned this one earlier in the week. Kids today don't know how good they had it. When I was young, I had to walk through 9 feet of shag carpet to change a TV channel. And so it's easy to think in terms of wealth and health, but what God wants us to do is to win spiritually. So you go to Ephesians 6, and our time is gone. Look in Ephesians 6. You know these verses? Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Stop right there. I'm going to be out of time in just a moment. Can I teach you a couple of things about thriving to win? And our time's going to be gone, and we'll go home. Here's the first one. You better be prepared to battle. Be prepared to battle. Are you aware, ladies and gentlemen, that you have an enemy? Are you aware that the enemy wants to destroy your marriage, your children, your grandchildren? Are you aware, teenagers, that the enemy wants to destroy your purity? Are you aware of that? Are you aware, boys and girls, that the enemy wants to mess up your life before you ever reach your teen years? Moms and dads, are you aware that the average age of first exposure to garbage on the internet is 11? 11? Before a kid even has any idea about the changes that are about to take place from a child's body to an adult's body, what we call puberty, they're already exposed to images that are devastating to a grown man, let alone to an 11-year-old. We got a battle going on. And if we're not careful, we sit in our living rooms and the television just blares and we don't think anything about it. There's a battle raging. We got to wake up. We in the church have got to say, wait a minute, I got to fight. I got to battle for my children's lives and hearts and futures and purity. You know what your grandkids need from you, grandfathers and grandmothers? They need some grandfathers and grandmothers who will battle. Maybe like this. When's the last time you knelt before the God of the universe and on your knees fought for your grandchildren? When's the last time, Daddy, you got on your knees and fought for your kids? The Bible says in this passage, there's a war going on. There's a war. The enemy wants to destroy my life, my marriage, my home, my children. He wants to destroy my testimony. He wants to destroy your church, Liberty Baptist. The enemy hates you. And the world we live in is not on your side. That's why I can't just sit down and veg. I got to use, instead of television being something that just blares all the time, I have to use it intentionally because there's a battle going on. Instead of this controlling me, I control this because there's a battle going on. Instead of this controlling me, I control this because there's a battle going on. I've got to be prepared to battle. Put on the armor of God. I got to recognize there's a fight. This is serious. I got to get in the Bible every day. I got to learn how to pray. I got to be faithful to church. I got to talk to my kids. I got to protect my children. I got to protect my purity. I got to fight. There's a battle. Am I making sense tonight? Number one, be prepared to battle. We're going to be done here in just a second. Number two, be prepared to stand. And the Bible says in the battle, here's what you do. You stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to stand against the wiles of the devil. He wants to attack your life. He wants to destroy your life. You take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. There's all kinds of evil trying to attack your life and your marriage. And what you got to do is you got to put on the armor of God and go to fight to withstand the evil of our generation. Do you have any idea what the devil's trying to do to your home? Do you have any idea? Does it ever occur to you that the apps might be a way that your children are under attack? I had lunch this week
with Pastor Josh Tice, or breakfast with Pastor Josh Tice. And Pastor Josh Tice and I were talking about our children. We went out to eat just to be friends. We didn't talk issues or preach your business as much. We did some, but I just wanted to go out and eat with a friend. We talked about our children. And we talked about our kids and phones. And Josh was telling me that his son doesn't have one. And he was talking to me about it. Should I change that? Should I not change that? You know what it tells me about my brother and my friend and your former staff person? You know what it tells me? He's fighting the battle. What he's trying to do is be wise. You know what the average parent does? The average parent, every kid in town has a phone. So we're like, okay, so I'm going to buy you a phone for Christmas. And here's your phone. Here's 3 million pornographic websites. I hope you don't look. Here you go. No filter, no accountability. What the Bible is saying here is if you and I are going to win, we got to fight. And if we're going to win, we got to stand. We got to say, you know what, kids? That's wrong. So we're not watching that. There's too much garbage on here, so you can't have an open phone. Maybe I'll buy, my son here has a phone. My son right here, he's 15 years, he has a phone. And the only thing he can do on his phone is he can text and message. We blocked access to the internet. He didn't have a Facebook account. Do kids sometimes make fun of our kids? Yeah. Sometimes the kids are like, are you kidding me? Your parents are that strict? You understand what my goal is? My goal is that someday he will walk down an aisle to say I do to his wife and be able to give her the gift of his purity. And not take a lifelong battle into his marriage. There's a battle raging, and you and I have to win it. Two other things I want to tell you from Ephesians chapter 6. Be prepared to fight, be prepared to stand, be prepared to read. Doesn't he say in the text that we're to take the word of God? We're to take the word of God. Verse. I skipped a bunch, but in verse 17, we're to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Haven't I been trying to tell you this all week? That is part of the success we have in our life is we take the word of God and apply it to our lives so the Holy Spirit can take the word of God and make us more like Jesus. It's in the text. Get to the word of God. Train your children the Bible. Read the word of God to your children. Read the word of God to your children. Read the word of God to your children. Memorize some verses. Get the word of God in the walls of your house. Put verse plaques all over your house so that the word of God, so your kids can see the word of God when they're eating dinner. They can see the word of God when they're in the kitchen. They can see the word of God when they're in their bedroom. Memorize the word of God. Play it out loud. Download. If you're going to let them have a phone, download a Bible app and have them listen to the word of God out loud when they wake up in the morning. Surround yourself with God's word. Be prepared to read if you're going to win. You got to get to the Bible, and it's going to take some time. You see, but I work hard, Brother Dave. I'm not a preacher like you preachers have nothing to do. So you have time to have devotions with your family, but I'm a working man. I understand how people think sometimes, and I know you probably wouldn't think that way, but the fact of the matter is, doesn't matter whether you're a preacher or not a preacher, your family needs the Word of God, and you need the Word of God. So get in it. Get it. And here's the last thing I'll tell you. Be prepared to pray. Be prepared to pray. Because he says in the battle here, here's what we do. In the battle, he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know what you're going to do if you're going to win? You know what you got to do if you're going to win? Do you know what you've got to do if you're going to win? You got to do this. You got to do it. You got to learn to pray. Boys and girls, you've asked Jesus to say, teenagers, learn to do this. Learn to pray. Learn to get on your knees some. You don't have to kneel to pray. You can pray standing. You can pray seated. You can pray with your hands in the air. You can pray flat on your face. But every one of us on purpose had better get to God on behalf of our lives and our families and our children and our grandchildren. If we're going to win, we've got to learn how to pray. Isn't it amazing how little we pray? Really it is, isn't it? It's amazing. There's people all over this room that do not remember the last time you knelt and prayed. And a lot of times we pray on the fly, and you can pray on the fly. There's nothing wrong with praying on the run. You know, while you're driving in Las Vegas, if you're going to drive in Las Vegas, you should pray. But there's a difference in praying while you're jogging or praying while you're driving and spending time with God on the behalf of your marriage and your family and your grandchildren. Sincerely getting to God and fighting. Some of you are single in this room, and the devil wants to destroy your life. You better learn how to read the Word of God and pray. You teenagers, you got all kinds of potential. Some of you kids are smart as all get out, and you're brilliant, you're talented, you're gifted. But if you don't learn how to fight and to stand and to read God's Word and to pray, you will not succeed. God wants you to win. God wants you to win. So are you single? God wants you to win. You're a teenager? God wants you to win. You're married? God wants you to win. And what Ephesians has written is to tell us, God wants you to win, so win. God wants you to, so do the work. Fight. There's a battle raging, so get at it. You better take a stand because the enemy's trying to attack. You better get in the Bible. God's given you His Word. Isn't this incredible? I have God's Word, and I can read it and learn from it and apply it to my life. And the Spirit of God will make me more like Jesus, and I'll have the blessings of God. And I better learn how to pray. And here's what I love about this. Doesn't matter where you got saved yesterday or you've been saved 50 years. Doesn't matter whether you were away from God and you've come back. It doesn't matter whether you've been to Bible college or you have no idea about Bible college. Any Christian in this room can win. And may God help you to do it.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.